Technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
My last customer had me repair a small chip on her windshield before it could crack. She asked me if the repair would last a long time because she wanted to sell her car next year. I told her SafeLight's repair resin is scientifically proven to stay stronger, last longer, and it won't yellow over time. Plus, thanks to her insurance, a SafeLight repair was no cost to her.
Call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
SafeLight repair, SafeLight replace.
Coffee, please.
Phyllis, what's that spring in your step? Are you in love?
In love with Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. My feet feel fantastic.
What?
The Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Kiosk at Walmart. It measures and analyzes your feet, then recommends the custom fit orthotic that's best for you.
Sounds expensive.
No way. They're a great deal.
Hey, get that guy his coffee. I'm off to Walmart.
Go to walmart.com and search Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics for a kiosk nearest you. Savings versus other custom orthotics insert brands sold at retail.
Well, even as oil keeps bubbling up, stocks have stopped their free fall a little on Wall Street. Fox Business Network's Lauren Simonetti live watching the markets.
Dave, the Dow is now down by 11 points after 2 days of very steep losses. Higher oil prices amid uncertainty in the Mideast, getting the blame, and oil right now right below 100 bucks a barrel, 99 and change. There's some better news on the jobs front. The number of people filing for jobless benefits for the first time fell to 391,000 in the latest week, and the four-week level is the lowest it's been in 2.5 years. Durable goods orders, those big-ticket items like cars and refrigerators, rose 2.7% last month, and just in, new home sales falling 12.6% in January. Meanwhile, mortgage rates fell below 5% this week as well. Dave.
Lauren, surging oil, fueling gas prices up more than 3 cents today. AAA putting self-serve regular at about $3.23 a gallon, making a lot of us nervous.
Around the mid-Atlantic, it's sort of a bargain. Prices for self-serve regular anywhere from $3.12 to nearly $3.20 a gallon. But don't tell that to this guy.
I'm out here searching for the cheapest gas, which you can't find nowhere.
He's among many I talk to, pumping and grumbling and not all that interested in events overseas.
Tired of hearing it all.
Still, for those on the economic edge,
the salary cannot compensate with this gas price.
It's going to get worse. Forecasts of $4 a gallon, maybe by Memorial Day. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
NASA's filling the space shuttle's tank.
We're ready to fly STS-133.
Mission manager Mike Moses. Discovery's final flight was delayed for months by a finally fixed fuel leak. Launch expected at 4:50 p.m. Eastern. It's a big day in the NBA. The trading deadline. There have been a flurry of deals already. The biggest played out on the court in New York last night. Carmelo Anthony's winning debut.
You know, I was a little excited to get in this game going. As you can hear, man, we're going to have a lot of great times here in this arena.
Anthony on MSG, he scored 27 points to lead his new Knicks over the Bucks. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
A drunk driver hit us head-on going the wrong way. I could smell smoke, and I could taste blood, and I could hear my wife screaming, "Katie's dead. Katie's dead."
Every day, I live knowing that she's never coming back.
Our lives were destroyed by the drunk who killed our daughter.
How will I live without Kate?
Could you live with yourself if you murdered my daughter?
Drinking and driving shatters lives. Sponsored by the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee and the NYSBA.
Our weather forecast for today, calling for skies to be mostly sunny for the early going, partly sunny with an increase in clouds for the afternoon. We have high temperatures in the lower 40s today. For tonight, some light rain for the evening hours. Overnight temperatures above freezing in the mid-30s, then stormy conditions for Friday, a high wind watch in effect for Friday morning through Friday evening. In some spots, the wind gust could be between 55 and 60 miles per hour in the afternoon tomorrow. Periods of rain, isolated thunderstorms, rain could be heavy at times tomorrow, or high temperatures all the way up to the low to mid-50s. And again, those gusts up to 55 possibility, near 60 miles per hour in the afternoon on Friday. Friday evening, the rain ends. We get into a clearing trend. Nighttime lows mid-20s. Saturday, back to partial sunshine, then clouding over in the mid-30s. Could be some snow showers early on Sunday morning. Then in the afternoon, some clearing highs, no low 40s on Sunday. Monday, back to rain likely in the afternoon, highs in the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of the Davis School, Congregation Anshei Shalom, Dr. David Brindell, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Wherever you listen.
In the shower.
I listen to it all the time. I listen at work, in my car, when I get up.
Thanks for keeping it here. WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, February 24th, 2011, the 65th day of a snowy winter. It's a nice getting towards spring day. We're just 3 weeks and 3 days to spring. Glorious, glorious spring. We have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 36 minutes more daylight since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:37 this morning. It will set at 5:40 this afternoon. We will have 11 hours and 3 minutes of daylight today. The moon rose at 35 past midnight this morning. It is setting as we speak, actually, specifically 2 minutes ago at 10:07. We reach last quarter today. Next full moon is March 19th. Our next high tides in New Rochelle at 4:19 this afternoon, in Yonkers at 2:18, Tarrytown 3:02, and in Peekskill at 3:41 this afternoon. Just a couple of items I'd like to comment on. First, the revolution spreading throughout the Arab world. Kudos. This is a moment in history for America to stand tall with the people of the Arab world and support their quest for democracy. If we are serious about democracy, we should cheer these efforts by people who suffer under tyrants in their effort to break out. Fortunately, our democracy, while in trouble, still supports a reasonable lifestyle for us compared to that of most of the world. Actually, we have a plutocracy here dominated by the rich and special interests, and it needs an overhaul to be sure. But we still stand among the world's countries as an example for what democracy can provide. We will pay more for gasoline, I'm certain of that, as the oil money goes to better the lives of the Arab people rather than their few dictators. But this is better than propping up those dictators for our own devices and low oil prices. That policy has led to the tension and wars between us and the Arab nations. So I think this is a good thing. The other item is President Obama's new policy toward gay marriage. As you have no doubt heard, the federal government now stands on the side of marriage for any couple that wishes to commit to each other. It's not exactly that. It was just like Justice Department no longer will prosecute and no longer will defend that because there are serious questions about the constitutionality. This is a tough pill, I understand, for many Americans to swallow, but it's a pill like cod liver oil. It tastes bad going down, but it leads to better health. Mr. Obama is a gutsy president, a practical man who does what he must to ensure progress, to get whatever he can get for all Americans. And just one last thing that came up this morning, Andrew Cuomo flap where somebody, I guess it was an attorney, somebody who advises the Vatican, said that Cuomo should not be allowed to take communion because he's living in sin with a woman, not his wife. And he said basically that my religion is my business. I completely agree with him. I think anybody who would say such a thing is stupid. But then again, I'm not a religious man. Okay, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. casualties that we, those whom we honor today, Marine Sergeant Matthew J. DeYoung, age 26, of Talent, Oregon. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat February 18th in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. Army Specialist Jonathan A. Pilgeram, age 22, of Great Falls, Montana. He was with the Screaming Eagles, 101st Airborne, killed in combat when the enemy attacked his unit with small arms fire in Kunar Province on February 17th. Army Specialist Nathan B. Kars, age 32, of Harrod, Ohio. He was with the 176th Engineer Brigade, killed on February 8th in Kandahar Province, Afghanistan, by an IED, the improvised explosive device. Army Sergeant Patrick R. Carroll, age 25, of Norwalk, Ohio. He was with the 18th Airborne Corps, stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He was killed February 17th in Kandahar Province, Afghanistan, also by an IED. Specialist LaShawn D. Evans, age 24, of Columbia, South Carolina. He was with the 1st Infantry. He died in a non-combat-related incident in Baghdad Province on February 15th. That, of course, is Iraq. Airman First Class Christopher P. Johnson, age 20, of Clarksville, Tennessee. He was with the 501st Combat Support Wing. He died also of a non-combat-related incident, and he died in Southwest Asia somewhere on February 17th. And then finally, Airman First Class Corey C. Owens, age 26, of San Antonio, Texas, with the 332nd Air Expeditionary Wing, also non-combat-related incident at an airbase in Iraq on February 17th. Five of these seven American servicemen were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. It is encouraging that fewer soldiers and Marines have been killed, and airmen, in recent months, and from news reports, the war is going well. Iraq has wound down, and the Afghanistan armed forces have made great strides in increasing their numbers and in routing the Taliban. Dare we hope that victory is in the cards in the not-distant future. And by that, I do not mean a prideful victory for America, but a victory over the aggressive fundamentalist enemy. Recent dramatic events throughout the Arab world are very encouraging. I wish these revolutionaries well. Yes, prices may rise, but I'll be happy to pay those additional dollars with the knowledge that oil money is going to the people of those countries, not into the illicit coffers of individual dictators and terrorists. In the meantime, thousands of American servicemen and women and our allies are at risk at this very moment, and reflect, many will be killed. Please keep them and their families in your hearts. As you do your dailies, reflect on them, honor them every day. Your freedom is in their hands. Each death is a great loss to the families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Quarter. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Two reviews today. Let's start with I Do, I Do. And this is at the Westchester Broadway Theater. It is a musical. Sure, women like to have doors held open and chairs held out for them, but it is probably not a divorce maker if the man is negligent in that area. So when Agnes says she is leaving for such reasons, we have to leave Fantasyland and say, what? Of course, seconds later, she abandons her plan to leave the marriage after many years because Michael gives her a gift. Now, no one, not even women, fall in and out of love so casually. But a little corn in a 55-year-old play is expectable and acceptable. Come to think of it, I like to have doors held open for me, too. So don't see this play for enlightenment about marriage, but do see it. I have never seen a production at the WBT, Westchester Broadway Theater, that was not worth seeing. And except for the eggplant, the food is good, too. But this is not a restaurant review, so scratch that. I mean, give a vegetarian a grilled cheese sandwich or a personal pizza or a blueberry blintz or something. But I digress. It is very difficult for an actor to play a 20-something, then intermediate steps to senior citizens. Makeup can make you old, and good actors can play to that, but youth is callow, and it takes special effort to let that much of yourself go to be effective. In this case, neither Laurie nor Mark, the principal actors, are persuasive as 20-somethings, but as they progress, they grow into the roles, and Laurie's natural inner glow takes over the stage, and she becomes quite alluring. Michael's vanity is well played by Mark, but this is not drama, so we forgive lacks in this area. Now, I have commented on the sound before, and I must do so again. Either the theater system needs revamping, or the sound man needs to pay more attention. It is uneven. Whoever is operating the board is not balancing it properly, unless that is just an artifact of a very large, high-ceilinged room with problems I am not aware of. Now, Lori's microphone also is visible on her forehead, and it should not have been. Exacting technicians weave these tiny, high-performance, very expensive devices through hair or costume, concealing them entirely. If a man is bald, we sometimes see a trace of a mic, but Lori is not, and this was a distraction. So, as in almost everything, perfection is all but impossible to achieve, but WBT's productions are always well done and worthwhile and convenient and inexpensive. I recommend them for all of their productions, and I recommend this play. Now, we have just a couple of minutes, so before I introduce my guests, I will do my second review, which is Driving Miss Daisy, the Broadway production with James Earl Jones, Vanessa Redgrave, and Boyd Gaines. I cannot imagine a better revival than this play. A good play to begin with, nice combination of humor and pathos. And now, take James Earl Jones and Vanessa Redgrave, toss in Boyd Gaines for good measure, and good becomes Cracker Jack. Miss Daisy is getting to be too old to drive, a fact she won't admit, nor will she admit she is rich. Suspicious of Hoke, played by Jones, whom her son has hired over her strenuous objections, she looks for ways to discredit him. The closest she comes is finding an empty salmon can in the trash, which Hoke did, in fact, eat, but unbeknownst to Miss Daisy, he did replace it, which kind of embarrasses her when he pulls the new can out of his pocket. At first, she won't even ride in the car with him. She'd rather take the bus. But eventually, he prevails upon her, and once the ice is broken, they begin to get closer. Boyd Gaines is fine as the sun, and he would probably shine in the role as he has in Gypsy and lots of other plays, but it's one solid rule of the theater. If you are on stage with James Earl Jones and Vanessa Redgrave, it is not you who will shine, no matter that you have won 5 Tony Awards, which Boyd Gaines has. By the end of the play, Hoke and Miss Daisy are close companions. Playwright Alfred Ury makes a poignant statement about bigotry. When Miss Daisy's temple is bombed, and she can't imagine anyone doing such a thing to her reformed synagogue, Hoke, who knows racism only too well, educates her. "A Jew's a Jew to them people," he says. "Just like light or dark, we're all the same nigger." Ultimately, as Daisy loses her keenness of mind, Hoke stands by her. When he and her son come to the sanitarium for a visit, she brushes off her son, smiles at Hoke, and says, "Hoke, you are my best friend." 3 words sum up this entire play and performances. Go see it. We will be right back.
With business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD2.
From the Fox Business Network, Toyota is recalling more than 2 million vehicles in the U.S. to address trapped accelerator pedals in floor mats. More than half of the vehicles are being added to the massive 2009 recall for pedal entrapment in floor mats. Earlier this month, U.S. regulators reported the electronic flaws were not to blame for the reports of sudden acceleration. Meanwhile, fewer Americans filing for unemployment last week as first-time applications dropped to 391,000. Though initial claims dipped below the 400,000 mark, claims remain close to levels linked with persistently high unemployment. Orders for long-lasting goods rising 2.7% last month, the first increase since September. But excluding transportation orders like airplanes, orders tumbled 3.6%, the biggest decline in 2 years. And just past 10 a.m. Eastern, stocks little change. The Dow's up 9 points. The S&P and NASDAQ also showing small gains. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Keeping healthcare decisions between you and your doctor is not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's an everybody thing, a common sense thing. That's why a rapidly growing number of people from all political persuasions are getting behind a plan to move healthcare policy away from Washington insiders and closer to you. It's called the Healthcare Compact, and you can see the plan at healthcarecompact.org. That's healthcarecompact.org. Log on today and help turn a Washington failure into an American success.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460 WVOX.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
Mm-hmm. We are back. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle. If you're listening in Mount Vernon, Virginia, Ohio, Washington, Utah, Vermont, or Iowa, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live. Of course, if you're listening in Mount Vernon, New York, you are most likely listening on AM 1460. My guests today are Pia Haas, Director of Press and Public Relations for the Westchester Broadway Theater in Elmsford, New York, and Steve Calloran, MC and evening manager of that same organization. The Westchester Broadway Theater has been serving Westchester County for 36 and a half years, bringing professional theater to area residents. There are some of us who go to Broadway as well as local theater, but there are many people who prefer not to make the trip into Manhattan. At the Westchester Broadway Theater, you can see high-quality productions plus dinner for less than the price of a Broadway ticket alone. Joining me in the studio today, welcome Pia Haas and Steve Calloran.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob. How are
Hi,
you?
Pia. Hi, Steve.
It's
I'm good.
Pleasure.
Steve has been with us before. This is Pia's first time. Have you been on the station at all with anybody, Pia?
No, I haven't. So this is my first time.
This is your first
happy
time.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Let's start with the current production you have. I just reviewed that a moment ago. I do. Not perfect, but it certainly does work. Just tell us, what does it take to put on a production at the WBT?
Well, 10 days is all that they get.
Amazing. That's all the rehearsal for a whole play.
Yes. From first rehearsal to opening night is 10 days. And in that 10 days, there's choreography, there's staging, there's working on Locking. Their music, and everything else that goes along with putting on sound and lighting and all the technical aspects, costumes, and Steve will take over now.
Oh, well. Well, the interesting thing is, Pia mentioned we have a 10-day rehearsal period. And that's the same whether it's I Do with two people in the show or 42nd Street with 22 people in the show. And the logistics of, you know, mounting a production in that amount of time are, well, they're tricky. And as Pia said, I mean, some of the cast may be working on stage with the choreographer. The rest of the cast is out working with the musical director. Those that aren't immediately involved are upstairs working with the costume designer, getting their alterations done and things like that, or being with the sound person. There's just... Well, during that period, there's an awful lot to do, and it's they've gotten it down to a pretty fine science of not wasting any of the time.
Now, I've been in community theater productions mm-hmm. and one equity production, and had much more time to rehearse, and I just take small roles, so I have a half a dozen lines.
When I direct community theater, we get 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, plenty
of
time.
So that's more my speed.
But to imagine somebody learning a whole leading role, there's lots of lines. I don't know how they do that.
They
do
get the script ahead of time.
Okay. Yeah, they're cast and hired for the production, okay. You know, weeks and weeks before we actually go into rehearsal. And they are expected, as professionals, of course, to have, you know, completely familiarized themselves with with the script and the lyrics of the song. So it's a matter of tuning it up rather than starting from scratch. They're not going in with an absolutely clean slate on the first day.
Well taken. But I've been schooled on occasion. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I have been told that you don't really memorize your lines. You learn them in relationship with your other actors so that you play off of them. And if you go in with everything memorized, you have a preconceived notion of how the line is going to go. And then the person you're playing against gives you a line in a different way, which begs for a different reading. So...
Well, that's true. You don't need to necessarily lock in your performance before rehearsal starts.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, going into the kitchen. You know what you know what the ingredients are you're going to use for dinner, but you don't necessarily have to figure out the exact proportions until you actually get there at the frying pan.
Very good. Well, let's talk about cooking, Steve.
Cooking? So,
yeah.
Okay.
When I cook, I go into the kitchen. I know where my spice cabinet is, and I play with it, right? I know it's going to be some kind
that's
of
that's what it's there for, Bob.
do either of you attend the auditions in New York City?
No, I haven't for a long time. Have you, Steve?
I haven't for a long time either. I did for quite a while. I assisted the producers, and mostly that was involved with sitting outside the actual room and lining up the next people to go in, finding out who the next, you know, there might be on the days we have principal auditions, excuse me, for the lead roles.
Yeah.
Those are all arranged by specific appointments every so many minutes from talent agents. On the days when we have the chorus auditions, which Actors Equity requires that pretty much anybody that wants to get considered can just show up and sign up that day. And we might have a show that where we're going to hire, say, 14 people for the chorus, and we have 140, you know, 240, 340 people show up, and you have to, you know, you don't get the opportunity to you know, hear each one of them sing every single thing.
It's almost like an American Idol audition, right? Take a couple of minutes. Thank you. Next.
Well, yeah, it's kind of similar to that. And those people, I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. They know that when they walk in there, whether they're going to sing 8 bars or 16 bars,
they got to hit it.
They got exactly what is going to showcase themselves the best. And it's those few seconds will make the difference whether or not they're in.
But the principals, they're invited down. That's not open audition.
They're all scheduled through agency appointments. We'll say we're doing a certain show. We contact the talent agents. We say we're looking for this role, this role, this role. Who would you like to submit? And then they suggest 4 or 5 of their actors for the different roles, and we decide whether or not, well, we'd like to see this person, we don't think this person's right for it, and then we arrange the appointments, and then they all come in over a two and a half day period, and they and then it's a matter of, you know, coordinating everything, but because you've got a choreographer you've got to please, you need someone who can do the dance step, and you also have a musical director who needs someone who can hit the B flat above C or whatever it is, and you've got the director who's looking for the best actor for the thing. So there's a lot of cooperation, shall we say, during the casting process.
Pia, you're hard to reach by phone, always, Pia.
Am I really?
You are. You know that. We've discussed that. But I imagine you're up and about. You don't just sit at a desk all day. What is the day of a publicist like?
Whoa.
Yeah, well, there's a lot involved. We have so many things happening at our theater. You know, we are a mecca for musical theater, but there are those people that, they won't admit it, but that they may not enjoy musical theater. So we do have a range of programs and specials that we run throughout the year. And so having said that, we also have to publicize all those shows as well as our main stage production. So what do I do? I write a lot of press releases. I make a lot of phone calls to press, try and get interviews and stories and photos into various publications and magazines. I also go to events to try and publicize the theater. Meetings of various boards, like the Tourism Board in White Plains, Westchester Business Journal's meetings. So I try to keep active and try to keep our name, Westchester Broadway Theater, out there in any way that I can.
Okay, let's pick that up right after the break. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460. This is Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold. I have Pia Haas and Steve Callaran from the Westchester Broadway Theater with me here today. If you're listening in Washington County, Maryland, Maine, Oregon, or Yakima or Tacoma in the state of Washington, you have logged on to www.wvox.com and you are listening live. And we will be right back.
With world and national news 3 times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. He was not seen, but he was heard. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi on the phone to government TV, urging citizens to take weapons from his protesting critics. Hundreds have been killed as Gaddafi's opponents are gaining more control of Libya. In Wisconsin,
this is unprecedented, the continuous hours that we've spent here. No sleep for 2 days. Unprecedented.
Republican Assemblyman Don Pridemore. A decision has been made to end assembly debate today and yield a vote on a controversial budget plan.
We're making progress. We're getting through the amendments. I believe, and don't hold me to this, but I believe we're well over halfway at this juncture. So we're moving along.
Assembly Democratic leader Peter Barca. Majority Republicans want to save money, eliminating union bargaining rights for state workers. And sales of new homes fall more than 12% last month, wiping out most of the gains made in December. Fox News. We report. You decide.
In the north end of New Rochelle, you'll find an absolutely top-notch printer, one of the very best in the entire county. Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is known for its fine work far beyond the Sound Shore area. In fact, this particular Minuteman Press is easily the class of the fleet when it comes to full-service community printers. Located just off North Avenue in New Rochelle in the narrow Waikagill walkway across the parking lot from the A&P, Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is a terrific resource for individuals and small to medium-sized companies who want something very special when it comes to printing. No matter how big or how small your needs, you get great skill and creativity from Maestro Maselli's master printers, all for very reasonable prices. From business cards to brochures, color copies, high-speed printing, informational booklets, and flyers, it's Minuteman Press. Down that walkway when you're heading to the A&P, offering quality printing at very good prices. Call Frank Maselli at Minuteman Press of New Rochelle, 914-576-0335. 914-576-0335.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Here's the weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We've got a mostly sunny morning, partly sunny with an increase in clouds this afternoon, a slight chance of some rain by the later daylight hours, or highs in the lower 40s. For tonight, light rain possible overnight, temperatures mid-30s, a high wind watch in effect for Friday morning through Friday evening, very stormy tomorrow. Periods of rain will be heavy at times. It'll be a windy day with our highs in the lower 50s. Wind gusts up to 55 miles per hour possible in the afternoon with that storm. At night, the rain ends. We get into a clearing trend back into the mid-20s, partly sunny, then becoming cloudy on Saturday. Saturday's highs, mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Thanks for making us the official Listen at Work station. AM 1460, WVOX, New Rochelle, and WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. This is Bob Levinsohn. This is Environmentally Sound. We're speaking with Steve Callaran and Pia Haas of the Westchester Broadway Theater. New Rochelle, I'm sorry, Westchester Counties, they're actually in Elmsford, answer to Broadway. Really, this is the only theater that I know of up this way that provides such quality productions with Broadway actors and Broadway directors, and it's just highly professional and very good, very good. The current production is I Do, I Do. The next one is Singing in the Rain.
You bet.
Yes.
What can you tell us about that? Well, in fact, Singing in the Rain, then Seussical the Musical, Altar Boys, and My Fair Lady, that's the rest of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I definitely am coming to My Fair Lady. I'm not sure about Seussical.
Oh, come on. It'll be fun.
Maybe. But you have to make it the press night another night than Thursday, then.
What are you doing on Thursdays?
Always? I don't eat meat on Thursdays. So I have stuck with that eggplant. What about Singing in the Rain? Pia, what can you tell us about that?
Well, we all know it was a 1952 film, a musical film starring Gene Kelly.
So Steve doesn't really care for it that much.
No, right? He doesn't. And Debbie Reynolds, Donald O'Connor. I mean, it was one of the great films. So we've done the show at the theater before. I was not privileged to have seen it before. I was not there at that point. But I'm looking forward to this production. I just love all the music. And Steve, were you there for the previous production?
Absolutely. And it is. It's an iconic show. It's got a great story. It gives the actors so much opportunity to work with each other as actors. But then it's also got just an unbelievable score, all the memorable songs. And it has one thing that you won't see in any other musical production on stage. It actually does rain during the classic scene where Gene Kelly is dancing down the street and ultimately ends up kicking water onto the local beat cop, hands him his umbrella and dances away. That scene is replicated in the show with actual rain on.
You'd
the
almost have to. You'd almost have.
That, oh,
it's
absolutely.
Not, it's not actual rain. I mean, it's from a hose or something. It's not actual rain.
No, it's not like take
all
the roof
water
off for the
rain.
Show. Yeah, yeah. There's a piping system above the stage
that
allows at the appropriate time, you know, the minor crack of thunder, and then he looks up and man, here comes the rain. It's terrific. I mean, it's a really, now for the people in the front rows, little bit of a consideration. A lot of people really like that.
To give them plastic to cover themselves?
we tried to find, it was the same thing with
Gallagher.
Gallagher.
When he used to break the watermelons, they fought for those seats in the front.
Absolutely.
And they covered them with big
tarps. Absolutely.
Tarts.
That's their badge of honor when they get home. To say, and this was a bottle of Heinz ketchup here, and here's the watermelon over here on this part of my shirt. But it is. It's just a great production, and most everyone of almost any age range is familiar with it because it was just such a great movie. Pia said 1952, but it's been, you know, it's been on TV so many times.
And it was
it's
your
a great show.
It was your production 103.
Mm-hmm.
I have the list.
Ah, there you go.
103.
There have been 167, I think, and counting.
Well, 125 is where this cuts off. That
168.
Had a wonderful
life.
I do
is 168.
Wow.
Now, that's a lot of productions.
That's
and
lot
we've
of
seen
theater.
Theaters come and go. We had one here in New Rochelle called the Fleetwood Stage.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Arlt.
Arlt,
was,
yeah.
And he was fabulous. He directed me. In fact, I was in one of his productions as a non-equity player in an equity production. That was great. And he was a fabulous director and a great guy.
We'll be reviewing that, actually, next time we're on.
It was called And Call Me in the Morning. I was the doctor to be called. Oh. But it was still a small part. But that went out of business after 10 or 12
so
years.
So many did.
I know, they do.
Well, we opened in 74. We had our 10th anniversary, of course, in 1984. And at the time, there was a statistic floating around, which we didn't mind repeating, that since the time we had opened in those 10 years, 12 professional theaters had either opened and closed or which had already been open had closed during that period, which left us as the only professional, truly professional theater in Westchester at the time. And we're still the longest running year-round.
Probably in the country.
Equity theater.
Well, in the history of the state of New York. I mean, Broadway theaters have been there, you know, since
Broadway is different, but I mean.
Yeah,
I mean,
the late 19th century.
Regional theater.
Yeah.
Who are these fellas, Bob Funking and Bill Stutler? Are they still active? Do you know them?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. It was their idea. They opened the place in 1974. They both worked in the advertising business, and they both loved theater. And they had seen a dinner theater, Mr. Stutler, in his hometown, near his hometown, was an equity dinner theater. And he went one night on a visit to his folks, and they all went out to the local theater. And he thought, God, well, this would be a great idea for Westchester County.
Yeah.
And he came back, and he got together with Bob, and they talked it over. And they both thought, gee, this would work. They started working together. They put the package together. And on July the 9th, 1974, there it was.
Do they subsidize it in some way? Because money is always an issue. In fact, in the news this morning is how Yitzhak Perlman has left the Westchester
Philharmonic
because money wasn't there, and a guy of his caliber, and much as he loves music, and I've seen him play, his you know when you see a musician play and they're in their instrument, and their eyes roll back in their heads, and it's just, you know it's sublime. And I'm a musician, so I have a touch of that, of course, totally different level, but. But I understand. But still, you got to have the money that you promised.
Well, that's, you know, we don't have access to those sorts of things. You go to other theaters and you'll see the big framed plaque on the wall that shows all the different sponsors and donors, the platinum, the gold, the silver, and how much money they put in every year. And it's all deductible for them because those theaters are essentially nonprofit organizations. And we're not. We're a profit, or we try to be a profit making organization.
Even if you are a profit making organization, where do the customers come from? The Fleetwood Stage depended on advertising in the program and ticket sales. They got some grants when they could, but you can't depend on that.
Yeah, no grants for us.
As a business, you're solvent then. So these fellows, Bob Funking and Bill Stutler, they're not multimillionaires who are just doing this to be happy and enjoy themselves.
Would that were the case. No, no, it's not. We live and breathe on our business management and our ticket sales. You know, when ticket sales are up, you get to do a little more things. When the economy starts tailing off a bit, you look for different ways to continue the operation at as high a level as possible, but, you know, maintaining you know, a little more control over your cash flow, but it is, that's what the business rises and sets on.
Let me ask you about some of your specials, because they're very interesting. You do musical shows, not plays, but things like, there's the Australian Bee Gees.
Rick Nelson's
sons are coming to do Rick Nelson music.
Right.
There's Neil Diamond tribute, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You have Beatlemania coming up. I'm going to see Rain in a few weeks on Broadway, but I'm sure yours will be comparable at least. And then you have Elton John and Billy Joel piano man things. Those are just the acts that are being emulated, let's say.
The tribute shows, yeah.
Tributes, right.
And they've become some of our most popular specials over the last 2 or 3 years.
So you sell tickets, those make money.
Oh, well, the Australian Bee Gees tour, they're coming on March 14th, Monday night, mm-hmm. and it's their first appearance. We had them for the first time last year. In the autumn, and it was an absolutely sold out show, and everybody just loved it. And this was the first time we could get them on the calendar, because they travel all over the world, and this was the first time we could get them on the calendar since then.
I listened to that clip on your website, and
they sound great. It was a great show.
The Neil Diamond tribute that's coming up on Tuesday, April 12th.
He sounds like him, too.
Yeah. Dave Letterman's musical director, Paul Schaefer, big Neil Diamond fan, and he said that this is absolutely the best Neil Diamond tribute show that's out there. And they're great. Beatlemania, how many times have they appeared there?
You know, many times.
40 times, yeah, something like that. They're just terrific.
And now you have a guy who I know a little bit, Pat Cooper.
Right?
Now, Pat, he's always on. I mean, if you're walking down the street with Pat, he's quipping at you. You can't say, Pat, what do you think about politics, without getting... The funny side of the he has only one side of his brain. I don't know. So, Pia, what is your take? You must know him.
Well, I've met him a couple of times, because he's been at our theater numerous times.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. He's just always on. You're right.
Do you have any sense of who is there a Pat Cooper in there other than the funny man?
I haven't seen it.
Who knows?
I have not seen it.
You're right. You never
see. Have you ever seen a tear or an angry?
Oh, absolutely.
I saw him get a little angry.
Yeah. That's part of his whole thing.
But then he turns it into funny.
Yeah.
Well, one of the greatest things about the nights when he's there, he always gets to the theater early. He gets to the dressing room. He puts his stuff. I mean, we don't open until 6 o'clock in the evening, as you know, but he'll get there maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They do a little sound check. And he comes out to the box office and hangs out at the counter doing one-liners with the folks across at the computers.
He
and it's absolutely hilarious.
Just keep coming out.
And just doesn't stop. Just goes on and on.
I was at a funeral with him once.
Oh, God. No.
And we were walking through the funeral parlor. And he was making jokes. Okay, well, before we take our next break, let's how many productions per year, and how does it break down in musicals, drama, and comedy? Pia, you want to answer that one?
We do five or six, generally they're all musical comedies. We did have a Phantom, which was not, and Jekyll and Hyde, which is sort of a dark musical.
So they're all musicals?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Steve, what are you doing working for that organization if they're all musicals? Okay. All right. We have to take a break. I understand we will have a call-in from one or more of the actors. We hope, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening elsewhere, you are live. You are at WVOX.com. See you soon.
With world and national news 3 times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. As revolt shakes his country and battle, Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi points the finger.
This issue is run by Al-Qaeda. Those armed youngsters are incited by people who are wanted by America and the Western world.
Voice of a translator as Gaddafi gives his audio address.
Meanwhile, 30 miles from the capital in Al-Zawiya, protesters inside and outside a mosque were fired on by pro-Gaddafi soldiers who blasted the area and the minaret with anti-aircraft missiles and gunfire, incurring heavy casualties.
Fox Radio's Courtney Keeley and the founder of secret spilling site WikiLeaks lashes out after a British judge says he can be sent to Sweden over sex crimes claims.
Why is it that I am kept under electronic house arrest when I have not even been charged in any country?
Julian Assange's lawyer says he will appeal. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Amplify your voice.
Easy to work. Press talk button.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. You are listening to Environmentally Sound. We have a special today with the Westchester Broadway Theater staff, Steve Callaran, Pia Haas. And we do have one of the principal actors. I think we have Mark on the phone.
Mark Zimmerman.
Mark Zimmerman. Deb, do we have Mark Zimmerman on? And Laurie is also there, so we'll bring on one at a time. Mark, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Hi. Laurie, you're there too?
I am here, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, well, we can hear you and you can hear us, but I'm not sure if you can hear each other the way our system works. If you can, so much the better. Laurie, I saw the production 2 weeks ago, and as I said in my review, I don't know, were you listening earlier to the review?
No.
Well, as I said, when you became Flaming Agnes, when you got up into the middle years of the role, you were absolutely alluring and stunning and lovely, and you aged very well. But what must it be like to try to play a 20-something? That's just got to be, I mean, me as an amateur actor myself, I think that's probably the hardest, to actually be that ingenuous, naive, and callow. How do you manage that as a sophisticated actress who's been around, obviously?
Oh, well, thank you.
Play that.
I think there's, sometimes I try and think about the physical life of somebody young and maybe even think about things like the effervescence of champagne or something that might give me some kind of physical life. Mark and I were talking about that yesterday, actually, about trying to remember back about beginnings and first times and things. And sometimes it is hard to touch back on those things that you had experienced so long ago. But I enjoy the challenge and. I really love the lady. I enjoy telling her story, so I feel I owe it to her to give her my best shot at.
You absolutely do. Mark, are you listening to this?
Did you hear
what Laurie said?
I did indeed. Yeah.
Cool. Maybe our system has been revised. What is your take on the same question?
Well, we have the luxury of obviously having lived those days, so we can have some emotional recall to that. And I think what Laurie just said too is apropos that you just have to, if you're an actor, you're an observer, and so you can see the physicality and youth of people in their 20s and try to capture that you just subsume it. It just becomes a part of you. And I don't think either Laurie or I really give it much thought at this point. When we do it, we just try to be it, if you will. It sort of takes care of itself, it's fun.
Well, it sounds good when you explain it, but as a critical observer, it was when you guys got into your 30s, 40s, 50s that I was most persuaded. And then when you aged, Laurie, I thought that you aged. You bent over. You did a lot of physical stuff. You were quite convincing as an older woman. But it was in those middle years when you seemed to be real people to me.
Well, I think the story is so rich and complex in the middle part of a marriage, and I think the author did a wonderful job capturing. It's funny because this was written quite a while ago, but the dialogue is very contemporary in the sense that it's very applicable to everybody's life, even in current times, and I think that helps a lot.
1967 is when I do
Open on Broadway.
Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times people think like we change lines to update it, and although there was a little bit of that shifting forward a little bit by our director, Richard Spellico, honestly, we made very little changes in anything, and it just it has a way of sounding very alive.
Okay, now Mark, you've been in 7 Broadway plays, yes?
Yes.
Broadway is, of course, the holy grail of theater, but all but a few actors would starve if it was all if that was all there was. Now you're playing in a quite a professional venue, I believe, in Westchester County. How does it feel to play out here? You make the trip out, I guess, daily from, or as, whenever there's a show, from New York City where you live, right?
Right, right. I live in Inwood, so in it's not okay. So bad for me. I'm
uptown.
North of the GW Bridge, so my commute's very easy, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Well, how does it? What is the difference between the audiences? Are you more relaxed up here? Is it exactly the same? Is dinner theater different from just straight plays? What are your observations of the differences?
Well, what I enjoy about Westchester Broadway is how close the audience is to us. I mean, they're literally right at the lip of the stage. And, you know, I just finished doing West Side Story on Broadway for 2 years. And there, of course, you know, you have the orchestra between you and the audience, and that's, you know, 1,800 seats as opposed to, I think, 800 seats. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's a difference. You know, again, on Broadway, you certainly after the first 6 months of a run, you get mostly foreign audiences or people, you know, the bridge and tunnel crowd, as we refer to them. But in Westchester, I find the audiences to be extremely sophisticated. When, as you say, Laurie and I get into the middle years and we get into the, you know, the nitty gritty of what a relationship is about and the fights and that kind of stuff, they're just they are so immersed in what it is that we're saying and doing that I find that very gratifying. It means that we're doing our job well, and that the author has, and the director as well. And so I don't know that there's that much of a difference. I mean, certainly the pay is a little different, you know, and that. But theater's theater, and it's just about telling the truth. And I don't really think of it differently from one venue to the next.
Well, what did you play in West Side Story? Did you play Officer Krupke by any chance?
Well, I stood by for the four men adults, the Krupke, Gladhand, Schrank, and Doc. And all of those characters, those gentlemen, would take at least 2 weeks of vacation a year. So I got to go on quite a bit, plus, you know, whenever they were ill or had an outside job or something. So I did all four of those characters. And was nice because, you know, I didn't get locked into just one role for 2 years.
Oh, that's got to be good, except as we discussed before, there's just so many lines to memorize, although I always found it easier to memorize songs than actual lines.
Yeah.
I saw and reviewed West Side Story, and my criticism of that was the thing that was most distracting was that at least one or two of the principal songs, which we know in English, were done in Spanish only.
Right.
You know, I didn't mind them being done in both, but I don't know, tonight maybe? Or
well, you know, as a matter of fact, it's interesting you point that out, because about 2 months after probably your review, they revisited that and changed some of those songs to half English, half Spanish. It was a conceit that Arthur Lawrence, the director, wanted to try, you know, because in a sense, he said it made the Sharks more level with the Jets and made them less bad guys if you heard them speaking in their native tongue. But I think what happened again, as I said, you know, after a while you get tourists rather than New Yorkers, so maybe a less of a sophisticated audience coming in, and the producers were hearing backlashes about it, so they changed it. And as a matter of fact, the tour that's out right now, the first national tour, is a lot less Spanish or you know, a mixture of both. Yeah.
I'm happy that my reviews make such a profound difference. but also, when you take it out into Middle America, they're going to be a lot less familiar with Spanish. Although, actually, the lion's share of Broadway attendees are out of towners anyway. So
that's true. Yes,
Laurie.
Yes.
You have not been to Broadway. What? Or am I misreading your credits?
No, I've been to Broadway a couple times.
You have been to Broadway. Sorry. What have you played in?
I was in The Scarlet Pimpernel, which was.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's right there. And The Apartment, right?
And I think I was a straight person called Zoya's Apartment.
Zoya's Apartment. So do you also find working here comparable in some way? I mean, what is it like here for you?
Well, I think the real joy for us is that we're able to be home with our families at night and work in a wonderful theater. There's some really terrific people backstage at that theater. I have a young dresser who is going... working towards going to SUNY Purchase to get her degree in backstage theater, and we have a young sound guy who's a terrific, you know, technician, and it's just it's a wonderful facility in that regard. It's a very, very well-run professional venue, and that makes it nice for us. And we get to, you know, be home at night. I find the audience is very warm, and I actually worked at the theater 30 years ago. And,
did you?
You were in Greece, right?
Yeah, I was in Greece. Yeah, but to come back to the theater has just been a terrific experience for me. They're very welcoming.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I've always found them to be that way too. What is it like to play every age? From a 20-something to a 70-something. I'm already asking that, but also, do you enjoy the makeup scene where you become old? That's great,
you know,
staging.
People often comment about that.
It's great staging.
It's really fun. I have an 8-year-old who came to the show, and he loved the part where I take my wig off, and
yeah,
you really see that part of it. But
yes,
the thing that I often say is that it's such a great challenge, and there's so much that you can keep redeeming yourself if you mess up, you know. so much to learn that often we, you know, lines do get away from us or lyrics do get away from us. We're getting better now that we've done it so much. But I just feel like it's just a constant challenge that is just such a great...
Well, look, James Earl Jones flubbed the line on in Driving Miss Daisy the other night, so I guess you're in
good... Well, there you go.
You're in good company. You know?
I like to say my brain's getting to be a little more like dial-up than high speed, so
not at all. You're beautiful. Okay, Laurie and Mark, thank you so very much for joining
us
today.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay,
come see us at Westchester.
I will certainly
thank
do
you.
That.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye
now. Okay, we have about a minute and a half to go. What's up now? How long is this, is I Do going to run, and when does Sing It in the Rain begin?
I Do runs through March 20th, mm-hmm. and Singing in the Rain will open March 24th and run through June 12th. And I highly recommend Singing in the Rain. It's going to just
sounds
be a
like
lot
fun,
of fun,
and there's going to be a lot of water on stage, too.
A lot
too.
Of fun.
I'm afraid we have to quit there. We are out of time, but I would very much like to thank Pia Haas and Steve Callaran for joining us in our studio today. I love the WBT Productions and most of their dishes, not partial to the eggplant, as I am fond of saying.
We'll tell the chef.
But no matter, I look forward to attending their shows, and perhaps I'll get to go on and on Thursday one day. And I recommend all of their productions to you. It's easy to get to. It's not expensive. There's plenty of parking. It's great. It's great. Our thought for the week, I'm the hootinest, tootinest, shootinest bobtail wildcat in the West. I'm the fastest gun north and south, east and west of the Pecos. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, and the best small station in the United States. Next up, straight from the streets of Tripoli, Howard Sturman. I think Howard is here. Howard is here. I am Bob Levensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.